This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
Tonight, we finish up the insane Zanfretta affair with even more abductions, gifts from otherworldly travelers, and potentially untrustworthy Italians, before trying to get to the bottom of these strange encounters. I'm joined once again by Aaron, Nick, an official friend of the show now, Cameron. Welcome back. And a special note for us, this is for the first time ever. We're all in person in our very professional podcast studio with a great setup, aka my apartment living room. And I'd like to start the shout outs with a shout out to my Amazon coffee table that lifts up and unfolds into a full table. Thank you for supporting us tonight.
Quite literally. Also, shout out to, of course, my mother, who will certainly probably listen to this episode as soon as it comes out. And shout out to the person that stole Frank's bites and the chef that gave him food poisoning. Really great stuff. Great stuff.
It was a great weekend.
I would again like to shout out Nick's mother as well. Thank you for listening. As well as my mother and my sister, who hopefully are listening to this episode as it airs.
We're very sorry.
All right, so obviously, shout out to Troy from Nick, you know, the classic. Shout out to my fiance Fallon. Yeah, I don't think I have any other shout outs. Shout out to Frank for making this happen.
Shout out to Aaron for traveling the longest distance to get
here. Oh yeah, a whole 30 minutes.
8 hours.
Eight hours on bike uphill.
Both ways.
So before we get into finishing the story, it's been a whole week since we started, so I want to recap first. Do you guys feel like the story is top of mind, or?
I haven't stopped thinking about it. I have nightmares. I've
been so engrossed with this. I actually went and did some research about it. This stuff's about to get crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
I swear to God.
Actually?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. All right. You want to tell the rest of it?
Yeah. Go ahead. Take it away.
No. We got to do the recap first.
Okay. Sure. So I'll do a very brief recap. So the Zanfretta UFO incident, if you don't remember, and we do recommend, nay, require you to listen to part one. Yes. Otherwise, yes, I did say nay, Cameron. You're not going to clap and have me edit that out. I am saying nay, bringing it back.
Are you going to put this on Soapbox where you're gonna require that someone listens to the whole episode before they
before
can start
it shows
this
up
episode?
That is possible. That is very that possible. No, we're not gonna do that. Exactly. But if you recall, this incident involves Pierre Fortunato Zanfretta, an Italian nighttime guard in the region of Genoa, who reported multiple encounters with extraterrestrial supposed beings starting on December 6th of 1978. And during these crazy encounters, and we've described, I believe, three, part one.
I think two.
I think it's two.
Was it really only two?
I think two, because we did two and then the two hypnosis things.
Okay, great. Because that means one. Okay. We described, I think, two in part one. During those encounters, he described seeing large green creatures and he... What the hell am I saying? He also experienced vehicle malfunctions and abductions. And through hypnosis sessions and hypnotic regression, he revealed detailed accounts of alien abductions by reptilian creatures and very strange communication. Although these claims were met by the greater public with great, great skepticism. All over Italy, he became a big, big name. His hypnotic regressions were publicized on TV. Hundreds of thousands of people watched and tuned in and called him crazy. Yet, despite ridicule and intense scrutiny, Zanfretta's accounts were supported by physical evidence and multiple eyewitnesses that made it into Italian police reports and even made it to the highest level of Italian government. And that's where we last left off after encounter two. Any comments before we start with the third encounter?
Did you put that the video in the show notes, like the hypnosis thing on YouTube?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, I do encourage people watch it and listen to it. It's Italian with English subtitles, so if you know Italian, great. Otherwise, you'll have to like sit and watch it. But very compelling, I'll say.
My mother actually speaks Italian, so maybe she can watch it and let us know how.
Can
it
she
sounds.
Transcribe it or?
Well, it is transcribed, yeah. But I just thought I'd mention she speaks Italian.
Next time you're in a long car ride,
I'm saying I am the most Italian here.
Oh my god, that's what. Actually, I have Italian on Duolingo, so we last left off. The second encounter was pretty strange. This was the one that blew up. This was when his car was found with the outside and the interior extremely hot. The very weird footprints that were huge, that had a missing sole or a missing spot between the sole and heel. They found the gun that was fired 5 times. If you remember, the hypnotic regression said that the reptilian aliens took him on board and fired his gun and told him or stripped him of his clothes and talked to him through some weird helmet that caused him a lot of pain. After this, right, he had gone to Dr. Giorgio Giannotti, prominent neurologist. Everything kind of died down for a bit. The attention, the negative attention he was getting in the public eye. And he almost went back to being a normal guy. Until a few months later, it happened for the third time. This time, July 30th, 1979. Very brief encounter. Again, as with all the other incidents, he was on duty. This time on a motorcycle outside Genoa. So not in a tiny little car like the previous ones patrolling. He's on a motorcycle.
If anything, I would want more protection around me from whatever these things are. I wouldn't want to downgrade and just be like exposed.
Yeah, I don't understand why he's still doing this like job. Right?
You got to make a living, man.
I guess so. I guess he just doesn't have any skills. Like, like, I don't know, right?
I mean,
I have a new theory, maybe. And it's possible that he just really doesn't like his job. And so he just, because all three of the times he's been abducted so far, it's been on the clock.
Yeah.
Like, is he just trying to get out of his job? Like, is it just that terrible driving around the Italian countryside that he will make up alien abduction stories to not go into work?
But he's risking so much by doing that.
But
he's
risking.
He's married with kids.
And
he works for a company. He's making his company look bad. He's making himself look bad.
No,
he's bringing shame to his name.
All this positive, like, press that he's getting. People like him. He's like a national celebrity.
He's getting attention, but like, it personally, this might be a little weird, but we can talk about this after I finish the stories. But people who have repeat encounters like this, it feels like they kind of like it.
To quote a rather raunchier story, you can be addicted to some interesting things and that will cause encounters.
I think paranormal experiences tend to be people like the attention.
Oh, I don't mean that, but you know what? Well, maybe I'll do that on an episode one day.
He's talking about some dirty stories, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Paranormal smut.
I thought this was a PG broadcast.
Cameron, you were the reason we had to make the last episode marked explicit.
Because
you just dropped fuck like halfway through it. So.
Fuck. There you go. Mark it R.
It'll be marked E on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
For everyone.
E for everyone, yeah. Put your kids on this.
Also, Cameron, would you really want to be married to someone and let your kids be around someone that's claiming that there's just aliens with seemingly little evidence to show for it?
Yeah, but what if she's in on it? You know, there's weirder hobbies that spouses have had.
That's true.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know about these other encounters. If he's still in the job every time.
Why is he allowed? Why hasn't he been fired? Why is he...
That's what I'm saying.
It's weird. It's like, I don't know. If this has happened twice before, you'd think it might happen again if you go outside at night in the region patrolling.
Yep.
And yet... July 30th, 1979, driving on his motorcycle. This time he's outside the city of Genoa, so far, far from the hills of Torriglia, which the first encounter took place in. He disappeared, as he is prone to do by this point, and is found again 2 hours later on a not nearby mountaintop by other guards. And this mountaintop had one road leading up to it, and it was patrolled by security guards from his own company, his same company, his coworkers. And nobody had seen him. Now, maybe you could say, oh, they're all in on it. But, like,
What if they're in on it?
Yeah, maybe they're in on it. But like, if they're not in on it, what the hell is that? So again, he wants to get some, you know, another opinion. So this time he goes to the International Center of Medical and Psychological Hypnosis in Milan. So he travels all the way to Milan. I don't know how far away it is, to be honest, from Genoa.
Not the furthest. They're both in northern Italy.
Gotcha. So still northern Italy. And he asks to be put under sodium pentothal or penthol. I'm not sure what. But
that truth serum?
So, yeah, truth, quote unquote, truth serum. And he gets put under and he repeats all of his claims as before. The same thing about the reptoid 10-foot tall aliens with the nerves and the things on the forehead. And he claims in this encounter, right, uncovering his missing time of the 2 hours, he was lifted from the ground into an alien spaceship by a mysterious green light. So it's like, what the hell do you make of that?
Why green?
I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, what do we think of this third encounter? A very brief one before it ramps up.
So I kind of want to play devil's advocate. If it is a whole like lie or gag or whatever, what if the reason he hadn't had an encounter in quite a few months is because he was spending that time building a tolerance to sodium pentothal?
Oh my God. Oh.
Now that's an idea.
He's doing the long con.
He's just trying to like get addicted to...
Not addicted. Just build up a tolerance so that he doesn't have to tell the truth.
That's very interesting.
I don't know. Maybe you guys know more or have encountered it for the show, but how does sodium pentothal work?
I don't know. I thought you would know. Maybe
I've never heard of
biology
it.
Backgrounds. No. Let's use the magic of the internet and look it up. Now, I do know that it's widely regarded as not really a real thing. Like, you can lie under truth serum. There's no such thing that makes you 100% tell the truth. Looks like there's a bunch of different spellings of this. I'm seeing it now, and this will be in the show notes. Sodium thiopental, also known as sodium pentothal. It's a rapid onset, short-acting, barbiturate general anesthetic. Does that mean anything to you, Cameron?
It's an anesthetic. It's something that makes you... like a weakened state of mind. Yeah. It's something that gives you a weakened state of mind or makes you more susceptible to outside influence. And it messes with your brain, basically.
Interesting. So
makes you loopy.
Yeah, I wonder why it's been termed truth serum. So the last paragraph of the introduction here says, this has been well known in pop culture, especially under the name sodium pentothal, as a quote unquote truth serum, although its efficacy in this role has been questioned. And there's a bunch of references. So I guess back then, this is 79, they're like, truth serum. This will make him tell the truth, definitely. So I guess we shouldn't put too much weight into stuff said under sodium pentothal, but still weird. The green light, that seems new.
Did he just previously say light, or did he just not?
Yeah, so the first encounter, right, he sees the huge light bigger than the house that he's patrolling, and then...
But he didn't say what
he doesn't.
Color.
You're right, he doesn't say anything about it. I think it was just white. So, I don't know. All of a sudden, green light.
Well, you're assuming it's white light.
That's
it
true.
It could very well have been green.
That's very true.
He just omitted that detail.
That's a good point. So, that's the third encounter in regression. Not too interesting. But wait, guys. There's more. Now, potentially the most compelling supposed abduction of all was Zanfretta's fourth on December 2nd, 1979. So, the previous one was July 30th. This is now the end of the year. December 2nd. This time around, Zanfretta was driving around in an Austin Mini in the suburbs of Genoa, once again on guard duty, when he, guess what? He disappeared.
Get this man a partner. That was just allowed to happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Four times on the job.
I know.
Patrolling around Italy with nothing else to do.
It is strange.
Fuck around and find out.
I know. It does come to a point where he's under watch like 24/7.
Yeah, get this man a partner, somebody he just can be with so he doesn't get to pull this stuff.
This is so true. Why? Well, immediately guards are dispatched to find him again. It's like comical at this point. Like, he disappears and then they're like, oh, like, imagine it. Like, his coworkers must be like, Zanfretta disappeared again. They're like, let's send Tony out, right? Let's go find him.
Listen, Frank, if you or Aaron or Nick, if any of you guys were like abducted by aliens three times in a calendar year, you were not going anywhere by yourself. I'm sorry.
You're going to be put in a psych ward, though.
I'm not talking to you people if that happens.
Yeah.
I'm cutting you out immediately. You
probably should.
Where I'm going to get some hitchhiker effect and it's going to be bad. I don't want
The plant's going to get blown up.
Plant's going to get blown up. Oh, I don't need that.
Honestly. So immediately guards are dispatched to track him down. They search for him. And this is weird. While they're on their search, the guards very clearly see a large UFO hovering in the sky over the hills in the area Zanfretta was last contacted from. So, a little bit more eyewitness stuff there.
What does that even mean?
They saw an unidentified flight. It's pretty straightforward. They saw something they couldn't identify in the sky.
A likely story.
Bird.
Really big bird. Metal bird. So
Thunderbird.
Well, guess what? Oh, ready?
A flying car?
So this really big bird.
Not to be confused with Big Bird.
Yes, this sudden appearance of Big Bird. Well, a large cloud appears above these guards that see the UFO, right? And I'm assuming it's not super clear, but I'm assuming this is separate from the UFO, but really big, large cloud appears right over them. And two bright lights shine down directly on the four guards. And their cars just stop dead in their tracks. And if you recall, that's what happened to Zanfretta, I think, in the second incident. Or maybe it was the first. It was the first and the second. The second one, his car was taken over. And the first one, his car just stopped dead mysteriously. So again, now these four guards, their car gets stopped dead. And they quickly get out, just like Zanfretta did the first time around. And they're terrified. They're like, what the hell? They see this light above them. They freak out. They get out. One of them, a Lieutenant Kasiba, took aim and fired his gun at the UFO. Maybe it hit because the lights blinked off and the cloud just glided away. This part is weird. I feel like there's some missing context here, but one of those guards, his name was Germano Zanardi, was so terrified and perturbed by the experience of seeing the UFO and seeing this bizarre cloud, seeing these lights, the gunshot, it disappearing, all of that, and Zanfretta disappearing. It said he never mentally recovered and took his own life by gunshot just a few months later. So the Zanfretta story does have at least one casualty. There is a kill count. I really don't know what to make of that. I mean, it sounds like a little like, oh, UFO, whatever. But if I was to put myself in like the actual shoes of the guards, I would be very, very disturbed enough to take my own life. I don't know. But yeah, what do you make of that before we get into the fourth hypnosis?
I've got a theory that might lean more towards what Cameron's getting at. What if... Okay, maybe it's not a practical joke, but maybe he is in on it and it's a government thing where they're testing out like new planes and whatever or aircraft, and they don't want all the citizens to be like, oh, yep, there's just like aircraft, let's take pictures or whatever. And they don't want to be like off put by like military testing. And so if they get this scapegoat, Zanfretta, and just make it out to be like, oh, yep, it's some crazy aliens, guys. Don't worry about it. He's just making it up and make it seem preposterous. Maybe it puts the heat off of him.
It's been 40 years, though. We would have seen these things.
I don't know, Aaron. You're talking about like psyops, like psychological operations that governments do. And that's 100% a thing that governments do. Like, conspiracy theories aside, it's been confirmed many, many times, like, freedom of information requests that come out, and like previously secret documents are revealed, that there are always secret projects like that. In fact, did you know that was like actually a really big theory about UFOs, like that they're
I'd believe it. I didn't know it.
Yeah, that's actually a really big theory in the UFO world, that UFOs are government's like military testing, and they will artificially seed the idea of it being UFO to like hide, to cover for that. That's a very common thing in like in US stories, actually. So who says it's even Italian government, right? Could be, no offense to Italy, but are they capable of that? I don't know.
I mean, I think it would be American. It probably would be the Italian government, given that like the Italian Hypnosis Society or whatever is in on it, and the place in Milan is in on it.
Why do they have to be in on it? What if it's just like, that's what Zanfretta, like they trick Zanfretta into thinking that, and then everyone kind of believes him. Like, why do other people have to even be in on it? You
know that's mean? True.
I don't know. That's a very valid theory.
I have one more piece relating to the guards and their sort of part in all this. And that's sort of mass hysteria, which is a very real thing that happens.
You think
when
so?
You have a very stressful situation. So say someone says, oh my God, there's a UFO in that cloud, and it goes away because the cloud covers it. And the captain or lieutenant, whatever, fires off his gun. And then you're like, oh my God, I saw it too. And then you have real like physiological symptoms stemming from the anxiety and the stress that you're feeling. I could totally see how that could. And then you're sort of feeding off your other coworkers, and then it's building and it's building and it's building to the point where the one man unfortunately had that psychological break even months later. It was so intense that it carried with him for that long.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Mass hysteria. That's also a very common. What's the word? Explanation applied to paranormal events where there are many, many eyewitnesses. I will say, I encourage you and listeners at home to listen to episode 233 of the podcast Astonishing Legends, which is titled What It Wasn't, or How I Learned to Stop Dismissively Categorizing Potentially Paranormal Events as Mass Hysteria. They go in that episode, and that's one of the classic, like really high quality, I don't want to say normie, but I'll say normie, paranormal podcasts. Mass hysteria is something that was purported to be a thing in previous decades, but hasn't held up to any analysis. It's like one of those like things that can't, like the research on it can't be replicated and hasn't been supported by any further evidence. So I do think people can, like, you know, people, you know, like the clown sightings. If you remember the clown sightings of 2016,
we had those in, you had those in when I was in high school.
State. I think there's stuff like that, but mass hysteria doesn't, like, when it goes to, like, it has to go to, like, mass group shared hallucination, right? Like, if 52 people see lights in the sky, like, or UFOs, like, four people see UFOs, you know what I mean? It's like, how do you.
Well,
square it with that.
All you have to do is one person sees a UFO, it goes behind a cloud because the cloud descends out of nowhere. And then, did you see it? Did you not? It's hard to say. Your buddy says he sees it. Your other buddy is like, oh yeah, I think I saw it too. I mean, I can totally imagine a world where this is actually what's taking place.
That's very fair. That's very fair. Yeah, I think four people is a small number. You could definitely have four guys be like, yeah, this is what we saw. Like, totally. I think it's very interesting that there's always like just enough evidence shown to people. Like they're just enough eyewitnesses. They never see enough stuff to be like, well, this is obviously proof that this happened. It's always just it's always just enough to be able to share your story and have people be like, eh, I don't know. I think that's intentional. And we could talk more about that at the end here. Like, is that intentional? Is that something intentional about the phenomena? Is it purposefully not revealing itself enough? But yeah, no, that's interesting. So here we go with the fourth hypnotic regression, guys. Zanfretta returned to Dr. Moretti, and that was
psychotherapy?
Yeah, like the psychotherapist that he went to originally. He goes for another hypnosis. And during this one, he said quite interesting things. This was the very next day that he went, on December 3rd, 1979. Zanfretta's story, while under regression, starts the night before, around 9:30 p.m. He was at a self-service gas station on a highway near downtown Genoa when he heard someone calling him from a shadow. Instinctively, he walked towards the voice. He felt helpless to resist the call. Now, the voice, from his description, might have been telepathic, or it might have been verbal. It isn't clear from his what he says during the regression. The voice commanded him to get in his little Austin Mini and drive into a small cloud nearby. And he obeyed. I see in his face, he's like, what?
Is it foggy?
No. There's a small cloud, car-shaped, car-sized, on the ground nearby. And the voice in his head, or that he hears, tells him to drive his car into it. Presumably he's alone at this gas station. It's not like a bunch of other people. So he drives his car into this cloud, and upon doing so, he and his car, he claims, were whisked off inside the cloud into a large spaceship in the sky. When asked to describe the being that gave him the commands, so the being that the voice came from commanding him to drive into the cloud, he said it was a human-like being, a bit taller than himself, so not a 10-foot tall weird creature like before. This is a different guy. With a bald, egg-shaped head, dressed in a checkered suit that included a sort of breastplate, like a metal breastplate instead of a shirt. So imagine...
That's just Indrid Cold.
Honestly, it feels very like Man in Black. Nick's referencing the weird Man in Black from the Mothman story, which we will definitely do this year. Bizarre. From pictures I've seen of this, it's like a very reptilian sort of guy. But imagine that outfit, a checkered suit with a metal breastplate under the suit. What the hell is that?
Why are you hitting on his drip, bro? He's
I know, out. Right?
He's literally mogging on you. Okay. Arm with a Sigma.
So he's guided around the spaceship with the large beings. Now, presumably these beings in the spaceship are the same, like 10-foot tall freaky creatures with the weird eyes and the mouth and the forehead and the ears. And while he's being escorted around the spacecraft, okay, I'm like hearing what I'm going to say in my head, and I'm so sorry for like if Marvin listens to this, I'm so sorry for this. He catches sight of transparent cylinders with a strange blue liquid. There's two of them, and they're very large, and one of them contained a frog-shaped body. Like a large frog man. And he asked, he's like, what's that? And the creatures say, oh, that's an enemy of ours from another planet. In the other, sorry, actually there were three. In the two others, and one of them there was a very large bird creature. And another one had a human-looking body that was described as looking like a caveman. And they're just in suspended animation in these cylinders with this strange blue liquid. The looks these guys are giving me right now across the table.
Is it the blue liquid like they use at the barbershops to clean up
disinfect it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But wait, there's more. So this sounds obviously ridiculous, made up. But during the regression.
That's because it is.
Well, hear me out. It still goes on. At one point, Zanfretta mumbles, where have you been? What do you want to do in Spain? Why? But altogether, that will scare people. Now, he didn't know this. But the very next day, December 4th, 1979, the International Service of the Italian Press Agency, ANSA, published an article about a Spanish dentist, Dr. Alfredo Sanchez Cuesta, who on the previous Saturday had an encounter with a UFO that followed his car for an hour in Guadalajara, outside of Madrid. So Zanfretta, under regression, basically referenced a Spanish guy running into a UFO when he would not have known about it because there was no information published about it until the day after his regression. So how the hell did he know? Was that coincidence? I don't know.
What if they just planned it?
He planned the encounter in Spain. Zanfretta, this Italian guy who has no skills, who...
Yeah, it's his buddy from college. I don't know if Zanfretta went to college.
With a Spanish dentist?
It's his buddy from the bar. I don't know. They met on vacation. Like, shit happens.
I guess Dr. Alfredo from Spain outside of Madrid.
I'm sorry, this sounds like a made-up name.
It does. Dr. Alfredo Sanchez.
Did somebody run a background check on this guy? Is he actually a dentist? What's going on here?
I don't know, but all I know is that there was an article published about this after Zanfretta is on record saying, what are you going to do with that guy in Spain? That's going to scare people. And then alien encounter in Spain the next day. Or it happened previously, but it was reported the next day. So now this is not even the most bizarre thing that comes out of this regression. Most bizarre was that the beings tried giving Zanfretta an object to take home with him. It was a transparent sphere with what appeared to be an electrically charged pyramid on the inside that, that had sparks flying off the points of the pyramid to kind of from the inside to the outside of the sphere. Now, all that Zanfretta was told about this is that the sphere would enable him to understand who the beings were and how they live. But Zanfretta wanted none of it. He was done. He was like, no, leave me alone.
Does please. He mean, did they mean themselves or the ones in the tubes?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think themselves.
All right.
That doesn't make any more or less sense, though.
No.
But he's like, I don't want this. Leave me alone. I want to go back to being a normal person, living a normal life. But they would not take no for an answer. They insisted and insisted. And this is the most bizarre part. They told him to take the sphere and that he was to give it to a particular person he had never heard of. They gave him a name. They gave him the name Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Oh, when I read this, I was like, I did like a double take. I was like, Hynek? Allen Hynek in the U.S. at the same time as this was a prominent scientist who was like the public face of the whole UFO thing because he was tasked by like the U.S. government for officially looking into these sorts of things. I think he was with the American Project Blue Book. So he was a well-known public figure, but like a reputable person investigating paranormal, mainly UFO experiences in the U.S. at this time. Now, Zanfretta claimed he'd never heard of Hynek. But regardless, what the hell? The aliens were like, take this sphere and give it to this scientist in America? What? So that was the end of the fourth regression. A lot to unpack there. The guys, the looks that these people are giving me.
Frank, what did you drag me into?
I know.
I thought this was meant to be a reputable podcast discussing real life ghosts and ghouls. And now we're talking about aliens. They just happen and have sparkly pyramids. Like,
be careful. You might end up in one of these tubes with
the
blue liquid.
Please, somebody put me in one of these tubes. I'd love to be in the tube. Who knows what's going on in the tube?
Yeah, did the creatures look alive or was it not mentioned?
You know, it was not mentioned. I don't know. I think I got the sense that they were alive, but like kind of frozen in time, like suspended animation.
It's kind of like the clones from the Gravity Falls episode with the boy bands.
Of course.
It's like that.
Several times.
Are you familiar?
I was just going to say the clones from the Clone Wars.
Yeah, actually. I mean, or like any, yeah, I mean, the classic like clone. But also, okay, like, let's step through
this. Let's stop talking like that's normal.
Yeah, let's step through this. So starting with the reptilian creature at the gas station wearing a breastplate and a suit. What do we...
that's very just MIB.
Just yeah, very really
weird
black.
MIB.
What, like, this gets so off the rails, it's so hard to even, like, approach this and discuss this part. It's like,
he could just be having a psychotic break.
This does feel like a full-on.
Or maybe if you believe any of this to be true, it could also be, like, could be, like, a screen memory, and what he actually saw was even worse.
Yeah. I do want to talk later about what do we believe about the hypnotic regressions. Do we believe them at all? Do we believe they're entirely made up? Do we believe that they are partly true, but there's also some made up stuff in them to make it easier for him to like remember or like understand? But let's say for a second that he is remembering accurately, and he indeed saw a weird egg-headed, bald creature with a breastplate and the suit on. Let's just stop there.
That's not that weird.
That's not that weird.
You've never worn a breastplate with the suit before?
It is kind of cool.
Kind of dripped out.
It is kind of cool. But why would an alien be wearing a checkered suit and a breastplate?
Because the alien never existed. And he's just implanting things from his subconscious onto these fake creatures because they have drugged him and put him under hypnosis and made him very suggestible. And the poor man is like going through like schizophrenia at this point.
So you think he's full on making all of this up?
I think he actually probably believes it, but I don't think
he believes it's
intentional. I think that
where's he pulling this from?
A number of circumstances have sort of broken his mind so that he is susceptible to whatever the leading questions direct him towards.
What do we think? It gets so hard to believe him.
I can imagine the question. What did the creature look like? He was very tall, and he was a military man. He was wearing a breastplate. Oh, okay. What else was he wearing? A suit. Huh?
You don't think it sounds crazier than, like, I feel like if I was making something up, wouldn't you make it up to be more believable?
I don't think he's intentionally making any of the things
up. You think he's just pulling from, like, some weird deep subconscious, like, alien, egghead, chest plate, and then checkered suit on top?
Yes.
Okay.
And then frog, caveman, big bird.
Okay.
In tubes.
Let's move to the Muppets. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, Kermit the Frog.
Oh,
Big Bird.
What's the caveman?
I don't know. Any of like
Captain
the human
Caveman,
looking?
The TV show?
Was that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's Captain
Caveman?
Can you
see Scoob?
It's basically Scooby Doo, but with a caveman.
Yeah.
What?
And three hot women.
What? Is this like old school?
Hanna-Barbera. Oh,
yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I missed out. But so, yeah.
And he just goes, Captain Caveman or something. Not quite like that. Maybe
you
just,
know what?
Maybe just cut that out.
No, right here I'll put what he goes. So
he goes.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll just put it in.
And you know, that's what he sounds like, you know.
So. That was a beautiful impersonation.
That was amazing.
Thank you. I practiced that a lot as a child.
Yeah, so
one thing I wanted to add. And I have the luxury of looking at Frank's notes here. So one of the bullets says he felt helpless to resist the call.
Yeah.
Now let's travel back in time a few episodes from now or from this point. Black Eyed Kids.
Yeah.
There you do feel the drawn.
Irresistible nature of these beings. So perhaps like, if it were me and I had seen all these creatures and they've caused me nothing but trouble, why would I go up to them and start having a conversation? Unless I'm put under his spell or whatever presence he emanates.
You get Jedi mind tricked.
Honestly. Exactly.
Counterpoint. At 12 a.m., I'm also drawn to a piece of double chocolate cake.
Explain
checkmate.
Yourself. You're saying,
well, he's like, oh yeah, he was drawn to it. Yeah, well, you can get drawn to a lot of things, including delicious desserts.
Okay, but do you ever
are you
feel,
hungry?
Not currently.
Do you ever feel as though like you're sitting there and there's a chocolate cake in front of you, and then all of a sudden your arm uncontrollably moves to start scooping out a bite?
You're channeling cake.
Yes, all the time. It's delicious.
Yeah, you know, those are both interesting points. I think, so Aaron, you're right. That's sort of being put under a spell comes up in a lot of paranormal stuff. Cameron, are you familiar with Black Eyed Kids?
Are they related to the Black Eyed Peas?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I'm not familiar, no.
Listen to episode 29 for that, but just a creepy, that's more of like a creepypasta sort of urban legends. Than this.
They do like ketchup with their apples.
Though. They do like ketchup with their apples. It's very creepy. Look up Black Eyed Kids, be creeped out.
That's fun. Yeah. That was probably my top seven episodes of the podcast.
I
remember you now. The apples.
Yes.
So Witches Be Crazy, number one episode for sure.
Oh yes, yes.
Number two was the Zenfreda experience.
Part one.
It's not what this it's is called, probably but... gonna be number three. Because the sequel is never better than the original.
As much as we try, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that also, is true, Aaron.
Also, doesn't Mothman do the same thing? I feel like there was something I remember reading when Mothman was like.
There's definitely some part of that in the Mothman story. I think
with John Keel.
There are a bunch of men in black that appeared during the Mothman story. Mm-hmm. And I do think there's a feeling of coercion, like a psychological coercion with that.
Maybe.
I don't know about the actual creature Mothman. So I think people don't really have very personal encounters. They'll just like see it close up. But yeah, no, this it comes up a lot. So if this is all true, that's gross and points towards these things being bad. I'll just say that, right? Things that coerce you into doing things are bad in general. So people who say aliens are good, they're dumb. I don't even know if there's anything we could say about the cloud and the car and the cloud. Just take it or leave it, guys. Take it or leave it.
I mean, I'll say this. They're high up in the mountains. There are clouds that form like in the mountain range. So
yeah, I guess. Yeah.
It's not...
Like fog?
Actually clouds.
He says it's a freaking cloud that he drives into and it lifts up with his car.
That part, I don't quite know. Maybe, you know, there's
he could have definitely seen like a cloud.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe there's a spaceship inside of the cloud and it's not the cloud itself. It's like some cloaking technology inside the cloud.
Cloud cloaking technology. Oh my God, you're saying UFOs can disguise themselves with clouds? Every time you see a cloud, it could be a UFO?
I'm not saying that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. So let's, I don't want to harp on this too long, but we need to discuss the frog and bird and caveman.
I wish we got more descriptions of what they
I do. I know. This is like, it's like, oh, I want to know more. I want to know more. Can I just say, this is so disturbing. If this is true, this is disturbing. What the hell is this? Keeping an enemy of yours? It was a slavery?
It's like the harvesters all over again.
Oh, it's gross. Like weird.
Are you memeing?
No, I'm not memeing. I'm not saying I believe this to be true, but if this is true, like it's so easy to dismiss because it's insane. But think about the implications if this is true. That's extremely disturbing. What, Cameron?
I don't really think it's that bad or that interesting.
You don't think it's that bad?
No. Have you ever seen hunters, how they keep trophies of their conquests?
It makes it sound hot
in the summer.
The guy
men
said
go missing. It's an found flayed open on trees. I'm talking about
like actual hunters. Like, you know, there's a bear in the woods and they shoot it and then they mount like a bearskin rug.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the movie from the 80s called Predator.
My
apologies. But
you're saying there's nothing wrong with that? Like the.
Well, it's obviously it's fake and it's a movie.
Yes, but if that was real, wouldn't that be disturbing and scary?
Yeah,
what?
I just wouldn't go to the South American jungle. My bad.
Yeah. Okay.
All this to say, I think he just subconsciously thought of three things and slapped them together. And that's what we end up with. A bird, a frog, and a man.
When you put it like that.
Not exactly the craziest group of creatures to have on a spaceship.
That's crazy. I'm not letting it go because
it's an alien spaceship.
If you go in an alien spaceship and you see a human in a tube with liquid, if you think that's normal or okay,
if I was
you must be an alien.
Like and that, I didn't see some eldritch horror of a creature that has like six arms and seven legs and like 16 eyeballs, because that's just what they look like on a different planet. I'm not believing it's real. If it looks like it's from Earth, it's probably from Earth. If it looks like it's developed in the identity and biology of planet Earth, it's probably from Earth.
So it's probably a human.
Yeah, it's probably a human.
That's terrible.
I'm saying if this is real, he's seeing some alien creature from galaxies and galaxies away that would not look anything like anything we've ever seen before. And he's not saying that. He's saying, oh yeah, it looks like a frog, a bird, and a human.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Hold on to that, because I think that's a huge point where it's like, how the hell could these be aliens? If it's a real thing he's experiencing, how could it be aliens from outer space?
We still are part of the
Alien Hate League.
Yes. Just don't get it twisted.
If you guys are interested in joining the Alien Hate League, write in, because there's not enough alien hate.
Where do I send the letter to?
MysteriousUniverse.org. You could send an email to Wednesday at 9 p.m. at gmail.com. Subject line, AHL, right? AHL
or
application.
Is it the Alien Hate League or the United Humanitarian Front?
It gets even crazier, so I don't want to harp on this too much. But the last thing I'll ask you guys about, what do we think about the sphere and the pyramid and being told you have to take this and give it to the scientists in America? As if he'd be able to do that. As if, like, what is this? I don't know.
I feel like maybe the aliens just don't have like a full grasp on like the abilities of people. Like,
why wouldn't they give it to him? Why does Zamfred have to give it to Hynek?
Maybe they don't want to be like caught in the act, and they want to be cryptic about it, and they'll send this little messenger guy.
I guess it just seems so like if out of nowhere. Though.
If you let me put it this way. If you were a well-known like alien studier, hunter, whatever you want to call it, would you want to, like, as an alien, would you want to approach him directly and risk your lives? Or would you want to, like, send a messenger for you?
But think of it this way. If these are aliens that can say, hey, you, drive your car into this cloud, and then you are forced to do it, it seems comically bizarre that they'd be like, take this and give it to this man you haven't heard of in America, across the world. But they could do whatever they want in theory. They can abduct people. It just seems so, it feels, you know, it does. It feels insidious, guys. It feels insidious.
I don't know why you're making that face.
It feels.
Maybe because it feels insidious, but I'm not
telling you. movie.
I've never seen
that. That was a terrible movie. Oh my god. Oh.
Okay. You made a really good point there, Frank. They can do whatever they want. Okay. Why not to give it to anybody on the right continent?
I know, you're right. I know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
So my theory is he probably heard the name because he's been kicked around an alien circle jerk community for a year.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
It's not the craziest thing. Even if you don't register the name, you know, someone says it passingly in conversation, or you hear it in a
subconscious.
And then it's in your subconscious, and then he's like doing a selection bias, making himself more important subconsciously, where he's like, oh yeah, I was chosen by the aliens to deliver this message. I am the important piece of all of this. I mean, it's every guy's dream ever to be, you know, the guy on the quest to save the world.
It's not
the craziest thing that he dreamt and created this thing totally subconsciously. I'm not saying he made any of this stuff up, but when he's on this cocktail of drugs and being directed one way or another with the hypnotist, I totally see this being something that could happen.
Cameron, you're onto a lot there, because if you listen to a lot of these different stories, and so Nick and I listen to podcasts all about this. Aaron, you should too, if you want my password for Mysterious Universe. So often in paranormal encounters, and not even just UFO stuff, but very common in alien abduction stories, and also just like, oh, people that go to mediums and talk to spirits, whatever. Like 9 times out of 10, it feels like people get tricked into thinking that they are special. And that they are given a special task for the world. So yeah, in a lot of paranormal encounters and medium things, people talking to what they think are spirits, people channeling things, alien encounters, all the time, the things that are communicating with people take advantage of them and tell them, you're so special. You have a special mission. We put you on this planet to deliver this message, or we are aliens and we need you to take care of the earth and stop doing nuclear bombs. You have to spread the word. You have to write a book. That actually comes up a crazy number of times, to the point where I hear this, and actually I agree with you. It's very fishy that he is the guy. He is some random guy from the middle of nowhere in Northern Italy, a security guard. No offense to security guards, but like, he's a random guy. Aliens are not going to be coming down being like, who do we want to make ourselves known? We want to spread our word. Who do we go to? Pierre Fortunato Zanfredda. Perfect. Let's scoop him up tonight on his motorcycle. So yeah, good thing to point out.
And, you know, an ex-girlfriend once told me, people love to hear about themselves. And I think that's very true. You know, you start talking about somebody, they are instantly engaged and are completely committed to the conversation. No matter what they're saying, the person you're talking to is 100% involved in what is happening. You know, they're not leaving that conversation. They're not going and doing something else. If you're telling somebody that they're special and that they're the chosen one destined to save the planet, they're going to listen and they're going to pay attention to it.
Very true.
I've got just one counterpoint to this whole situation here. And I think we've said time and time again, these supernatural beings can be trickster-like and want to make themselves known enough that some people believe, but not everyone, so that they can kind of blend in and do whatever they want to do without being found out. So if you tell this random security guard, are you going to believe him? Or are you going to believe like a government official that's like, yeah,
that's a good point.
You know, like maybe you pick the random guy in a different continent and make it sound absurd. Like maybe they're playing 4D chess in there, because obviously if they've traveled from a very far away land, they are very technologically advanced.
Is that the same point though? You're supporting, like I think we're agreeing. Right?
No, well, I'm saying that it is likely that they are real and that they're doing this because they're picking the random Joe Schmo people.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with that.
I just had an absolutely crazy idea.
Did you have a Jimmy Neutron brain blast?
I really did. Like, the neurons were firing. I could feel it. What if they're playing 4D chess, okay? And so they predicted that in the future, four nerds would get together at 9 p.m. on a Wednesday and discuss this. And this somehow kicks off some other event in the alien community, which leads to their end goal.
So you're saying it's our fault?
Yeah, it's literally on us.
That we have to delete this.
Yeah.
We got to stop recording.
This will be lost.
Last episode.
This is like us like inventing Skynet. Right now. This is what it is.
We're about to have like time travelers break down a door and be like, you have to stop. Yes, we're the time cops.
Exactly.
But it's like three of us and we're all old and one of us is like gone.
Yeah. And it's like, wait, where's the third? I'm like, classified. Can't say it. He went rogue.
We had to kill Nick back in.
Yeah, Nick went rogue. Yeah. But yeah. So, oh man, there's so much and we're already an hour in. So, I don't want to take too much more time. But I like that we're all like not trusting the narrative here, including Zanfretta. You know? Well,
yeah, aliens don't exist. Like,
well, that's not even, I don't know if that's even like the most normal take. Like, I don't even think that's, we'll talk. And let me finish this, because there are two more encounters, guys. At least, we'll go quick. Fifth encounter, despite Zanfretta's wishes, they wouldn't leave him alone. Less than a year later, he disappears again.
Get this man a fucking buddy. Buddy system.
This time?
Why is he alone? Ever?
This time, he is, for the entire duration that he's gone, he's in constant contact with over the radio with headquarters. So I guess they can like track him easily. I don't know if they probably don't hear anything, but somehow they're tracking him through radio or I don't know. And he's found pretty shortly. This time, he's found freezing in a state of shock up on the hills. Wherever he is. And this was February 14th in 1980.
Ooh, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You're frozen on a hill.
But his wife was like, oh, really? You just forgot and you didn't want to get a gift. So you're like, oh, I got abducted. I'm freezing out here. Yeah, I can't.
You're so real for that, Frank. That's such a good point.
I got a headache. And again, a nearby village said that they had just seen a huge bright mass in the sky. Shaped like a football balloon. What is that? I don't know. What is a football balloon?
It's called the sun.
This is at night.
It's called the moon.
Anyway, hypnosis again. Now, guys, you got to pay close attention to what I'm about to say here. Aaron, do you see these notes?
Mm-hmm. I hope you pronounce all of those correct.
I'm going to try my best. Do you want to try or do you want
to? Nah, you got this.
Okay. The next hypnosis session goes completely off the rails. He just basically refuses to answer Dr. Moretti. He ignores all the prompts and he just starts speaking in a foreign language. he starts uttering phrases like and so on. Just complete. I mean, here's a funny phrase. Chisnaug the Ikes Pisknew. So stuff like that.
Is this a real language?
No, it's definitely not. Right. Like, we've got words like Ixie and Kai and this.
But could it be a real language in a cipher?
It almost sounds, as I say it out loud, because I haven't said it out loud, like Ikes Pisknew Kepnow Te Sede. It almost sounds like backwards. It almost sounds like backwards speech.
I don't know. I feel like it could be like a cipher.
Or it could be a cipher. Who knows? So he's lying down. Dr. Moretti is like, what the hell? He tries to snap him out of it. He's not coming out of it. He completely loses control of the regression. Eventually, Zanfretta snaps out of that foreign language. And he says that he's channeling those aliens that are called. We get a name for them. This made my eyes almost roll out of my head. Dragos.
They're the Dragos?
Yes, the reptilian aliens called Dragos.
Dragos these nuts.
I was... But, do you want me to keep that in?
No.
Okay.
Keep the whole thing in.
As he says that, his voice suddenly becomes quite guttural. And he states, you can't work anything out in a case like this. To believe or not to believe doesn't mean anything. Each thing in its own time. What? But let's finish. Let's finish. Because by this time now, Zanfretta's under 24/7 close observation by his coworkers.
What? Finally.
Finally, right? For his own like mental health. Yet he still manages to disappear for a short time on August 13th, 1980. Now, at this point, he's fully gone. Under regression, he's completely uncontrollable. He ignores all questions and just repeats nonstop after any prompt. He says, question with negative answer, Tixel.
Tixel?
Tixel. So Dr. Moretti, spelled? T-I-X-E-L.
Is that like a new reindeer?
Tixel? I don't know, but Zanfretta will be like, what did you see on that night? And he'll say, question with negative answer, Tixel. Anything that he's asked, he says, question with negative answer, Tixel, in a robot voice. Dr. Moretti was quoted as saying, what is happening here is completely scientifically inexplicable to me. Now, with that bizarre end, that was the last of Zanfretta's encounters that had some form of like evidence in the sense of like regressions or eyewitnesses. From the sources I'd read, that's where it was left off. Like, that was all he had. But, and I couldn't find more information on this, he later, in later decades, claimed to have had up to 11 abductions. So he claimed later in life to have, like, five more at least. But there's no, he provided no proof or evidence for that whatsoever. So for all intents and purposes, we can say, like, he had six. Basically, in the follow-up decades since those first encounters, there were plans by like kind of shady companies to purchase the rights from Reno DiStefano, the reporter who was kind of tracking this whole story. And they offered him a lot of money. They wanted to make movies and books, but DiStefano declined. And it's said that Zanfretta was pretty upset that those plans fell through. He probably started seeing dollar signs in his story. And it's also said he eventually got in trouble with the Italian justice and left his job as a security guard. Now, DiStefano also kept in contact with him for a little bit longer before eventually losing contact. And he said that he only remembered a bit in the end about his extraordinary experiences. But Zanfretta did claim he hid the sphere somewhere in the hills of Genoa and he waits. What for? Who knows?
What sphere?
The sphere with the pyramid, remember?
That he was supposed to deliver to the American?
I thought it was just described as a pyramid with glowing points.
No, it was inside a transparent sphere.
Oh, okay.
And did he ever show it to anyone? No, he just, I buried it in the hills. You want to see it? I can't. I can't.
Whoa.
He also never tried to send it to Hynek.
If it's just Forrest Fenn's treasure.
It basically is
him.
Didn't they find Forrest Fenn's
treasure? Yeah, someone did. Yep.
Okay. That's a great story. But yeah, so he claimed that he had it. He just buried it and he's waiting for something. Now, I can't tell if he's still alive. I saw a video of him on the news as an older man on like Italian TV as recent as 2007, which feels like it is closer than it actually was.
That's 17 years ago.
17 years ago. So I'm going to guess he's like no longer with us, but it's possible.
Did I ask him to appear on this podcast episode?
No, I got to track him down. The DiStefano, the reporter, I think is still alive. Or at least he was in 2014, at least.
Should we reach out for a comment?
Which is also 10 years ago. Oh, my God. Wow. So they're probably all dead.
What kind of sham operation are you
running? I know, right? I gotta learn. Why don't you get a Ouija board? I got a Ouija board and channel him. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it'll be not him.
Or I'll channel the Dragos.
It'll be the four of us subconsciously moving the answers. But okay.
Right? So
Ouija board's not.
We just won't touch it.
Yeah, just don't touch it.
Just place the planchette on the board. It'll move.
I don't believe you.
It spells out negative answer for question, Tixel.
That would and that's be it. Insane.
That would be insane. What a weird. So that is where Tixel. The Zanfretta encounters end. I don't know. I have written down a few questions to prompt a little bit of discussion. But really, what can be said about this? So the stuff that was in my mind that I wrote down was one. Was he lying? Was it a huge conspiracy for attention? Or did he really have repeat experiences? Can we trust what he said under regression? And if so, how much can we trust? 80%? 50%? 10%? 1%? Because even 1% would be astonishing. And some more open-ended questions, which are like, why was everything he encountered so human-like? The shapes of the supposed aliens, the names of places the aliens gave, right? They said the third galaxy, if you remember, the planet Tetonia. What are the chances of that? If they are aliens from some bizarre place in the universe, that they look and act like they have human forms? Are human forms really a universal thing and literally universal and meaning the entire universe? Or can you wave that away and say, you know, if you believe any of this at all, everything told to humans by aliens is kind of translated first into like human terminology. Like, is it actually that the planet is called, but you know, they have to translate it to be like Tetonia.
Tixel.
Or is it?
It could very well be that.
I'm keeping that in. That's a little inside joke for us now. Also, why Zanfretta? And why didn't Zanfretta give the sphere the Hynek? I mean, that's one of 10 million, that's some of 10 million questions, but let's, I guess, give our final thoughts here and what the takeaways are from each of us and how much we believe or don't believe is a start.
Well, you didn't give it to the guy because the thing did not exist. You're probably not buried in the hills of Genoa. Probably just didn't exist because he most likely imagined most of these things.
How do you explain all the eyewitness accounts?
Like what? What was the eyewitness account?
Almost everything had eyewitness account. UFOs, lights.
The lights, there was a meteor shower that day.
Bro, oh my God, that's actually so annoying that you just said meteor shower. People see UFOs up. And then lights. Oh, go ahead.
I looked it up. There was a meteor shower that day.
Let's hear it. Go ahead. There was a meteor shower.
Yeah, meteor shower.
That was visible in Italy.
That was lights. I don't know if it was visible in Italy. I couldn't tell.
That's very interesting.
We need the geo-guesser guy.
Do you remember which day that was?
The original first encounter.
First encounter.
When like 72 people saw the sky light up.
That's very interesting. So you think there happened to be a natural phenomena for every single time there was an eyewitness encounter, like eyewitness report?
I don't know. I mean,
the UFO sightings, the beams of light from the cloud.
The UFO sighting with the four guards.
The hot car.
I'm talking up to mass hysteria.
The footprints.
The footprints were not even footprints. We saw one vague picture of it. And it looked just like a square in the dirt. I don't know if you can count that as a footprint.
Okay, so you're just
I'm just a hater.
You're just denying. That, no, it's very fair. That's very fair.
I'd like to just make one question, I guess, about the meteor shower. What would be a better time for aliens to show up? But disguised, you see glowing lights in the sky. Oh, it's just a meteor shower. You wouldn't think, you'd be none the wiser. It's a good cover.
If these guys are from the third galaxy, and we're that
in the planet Titonia,
as we know,
and we're that technologically advanced that they could literally, you know, freeze their enemies in carbonite and display them. I don't think they need to be hidden by a meteor shower. I think they could just do whatever the fuck they want.
But they don't want to be totally discovered, so they do use it as a cover.
I don't think they. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think they need that as a cover. I think they could just not be detected if they didn't want to be.
Yeah, but maybe deep down they want like little seeds, like just to. Maybe they want to know how we'll react to them showing up. Mm. So if they just.
A social experiment?
Yes. Like, if they just have a select few group of people, I mean, obviously they're not selecting, but like, if only a few people see them, they want to see how we would react.
You know, that's a good point. I actually, in the last week, underwent hypnotic regression, and I found that on the planet Titonia.
let's hear this.
Case studies involving extraterrestrial life, in this case, you know, humans, was actually outlawed in their version of the Geneva Convention. So I don't think that's what happened.
The Titonia Convention.
The Titonia Convention.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah. Of what year? What year was it in their time?
I cannot pronounce it. It basically sounds like whatever that means in their language. That's the sound they make when they said that. Yeah.
The year of Dixel?
Yeah. They still have AD because Christ exists in the multiverse.
Jesus visited and they didn't kill him. He's just hanging out.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Damn, we really screwed up on our
planet. Actually, how do we know Jesus is not from the planet Titonia?
I mean that's a good, I thought he's from Venus. That's another story.
Oh gosh. I don't know. Cut this whole part.
Yeah. Who wanted to go next?
So I'll kind of go question by question. Just because I don't think I have very long answers to these. Was he lying? I don't think about everything. I think something probably happened to him, at least in the beginning. So I don't think he was lying about everything. So I don't think it was a huge conspiracy. Like, I hate that argument because it's like, he gets so much negative attention. The movie thing was later. Like, that was a later thing. Or the TV show, whatever it would have been.
Books and all the media.
That was later. So I don't think he wanted attention. Like you said, what do you think his kids are going through at school? His wife at work? Like, I don't think he would do that unless he's just some deranged narcissist.
Bad guy. He's got a family.
That's not the craziest thing either. You know, people are just not good people. It's possible he's just such a narcissist that he doesn't care what happens to his friends.
Yeah.
But all the people at work while he was there did trust him.
Everyone trusts, like everyone.
He must not have been that bad of a guy. But
the police.
Did he have repeat experiences? Maybe, but I think like maybe one in two happened, but it got way too crazy to the point where I think he just maybe something happened to him, but then he was just making everything up as it went because he couldn't, something happened and he couldn't remember. So like with the regressions, I don't know how much I trust regressions regardless. Like even with like past life regressions, which is a whole nother thing.
Yeah. Everyone is an Egyptian princess.
Yep. Or a mummy and they want to be a princess.
Or from Atlantis.
Yep. The egg theory.
Oh, right. The short story, The Egg.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll talk later. It's a whole thing.
Link in the show notes.
Yeah.
Human-like. I think I know where you're gonna go with that, so I won't say anything about it. Why Zan Fredda? I don't know. I don't really. There are plenty of random people that say they're the chosen one. So
yeah,
I'm saying it. I am the chosen one.
Yeah.
God strike me down if I'm lying.
That would be
insane. I am the chosen one.
That would be insane if you just like died.
Yeah, but I didn't. So hence I'm the chosen one.
Wow.
And then I think the with the artifact, I mean that could very well have just been again something he made up. It's totally fake. I think that probably didn't exist either.
it is a little funky. Like, also, why wait?
Why not show anyone?
Why not show anyone? Yeah. Why? And then it's like, okay, it's in the hills of Genoa. Sure. Leave it there. It's not going to do anything. So, whatever. But in terms of, you know, what they look like, why were they humans? I know where you're going with that, so I'll leave it to the others before we get into that.
All right. So I think it's real. I just want to believe it's real. It's more fun if it's real. My argument for it, there is, I think, a widely believed theory about, like, paranormal and supernatural things that you get very drained mentally, physically, etc., after a paranormal or supernatural event. Like, I've been to a couple paranormal investigations, and after doing, like, the Estes method, which I think we've talked about before, but basically scanning through the radio signals and just listening with that in a headset, you can get very drained after that. And the guy was like he was feeling it, and like almost as if he was like not drunk, but like we weren't sure if he was gonna be okay to drive afterwards. Really? Yeah, it's no joke. And so I'm wondering if, you know, seeing these aliens and interacting with these aliens, like, yeah, the first couple times were pretty tame, like you said, Nick, but then it had a serious mental effect and physical effect that, you know, it's starting to deteriorate his brain. And so things just kept getting weirder and weirder because his brain could not process what was happening. And so just kind of became a little bit more schizophrenic.
They just gave him a mental illness, basically.
Yeah, I mean, even in the Mothman Chronicles by John Keel.
Prophecies.
It was Mothman Prophecies, sorry.
Yeah.
It was said about physical diseases being contracted by certain individuals who were abducted. So who's to say, you know, you couldn't develop like brain diseases and whatnot or something like that. So I think it happened and his mental just went downhill quick. And so I don't know how much truth I can put towards the latter half of the stuff, but I think some stuff did happen.
I really like that take. And that makes me ask, I want to ask a question to you guys before I finish. Let's say, not all of us think this is even real in the slightest, but if this is real, when I say real, I mean Zanfretta had experiences where he was taken somewhere and creatures spoke with him and told him things.
Creatures from Titonia.
How much do we believe that they are aliens from outer space like they claimed to be? How much do we trust that?
So, but because I don't think Aaron or Cameron really know where he's alluding to, there are theories that some people put out that like alien encounters or extraterrestrial encounters, it's not even government things. It's not actually aliens, but they're these other terrestrials where they inhabit the same space we do, just kind of like shifted out, like we're like in parallel. So some people say that these experiences that people have, it's really with like ultra terrestrials, where it's creatures that live on Earth still but are in a slightly different like form or something than we are, and they're responsible for the experiences.
Like, we're part of the multiverse now.
Frank doesn't like the different dimension thing, but that's kind of what people think.
Yeah, that's a great introduction to the idea. So I think what I get caught up in, I listen to a lot of crap where people talk about UFO stories, and then they take the perspective of nuts and bolts, where they go, this is an alien spaceship, and it must be using some technology we haven't discovered yet. And these aliens are real flesh and blood creatures from some other place. And they have weird biology, but they are biological creatures. And maybe they're like, you know, maybe they're humans from the distant future, time traveling back. And they take approaches that are very like physical and tactile. And they take it at face value. They're like, well, these things are purporting themselves to be from outer space, so they are. I think that's the most brain dead thing I've ever heard in my life. If you have more than two rat neurons that Cameron experiments on every day.
Wasn't that just my take?
No, I don't think so. No, because, okay. Well, that's not, it's not how I interpreted your take. I interpreted your take as they are paranormal things that drain you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is where I'm going.
Okay.
Because I'm saying alien life probably exists, but sure as hell is not in human shape visiting Earth, saying things like the word Tetonia, abducting people, performing experiments, using 1960s sci-fi TV show technology, and telling the truth. If these things are real, they are lying. They are not what they say they are. They are probably, this is going to sound crazy, but this is my true belief, they are much closer related to fairy tale stories of fairies and goblins and cryptids in that sense.
Based, and I like it.
Than they are UFO. Like the idea that there are aliens that happen to be our same shape that have mouths and ears and arms and can speak is, it makes no sense whatsoever. The only thing that could make sense to me is that these things that people interact with are purposefully portraying themselves as something they are not. And I think that they change how they portray themselves with the times. Like as human society changes and updates and goes through different technological ages and such, they portray themselves differently. But their goal in the end is to always deceive, is to deceive and lead people astray. Sanfredo didn't benefit from this. His life was destroyed. I mean, like, he became, like, he eventually just didn't have a job anymore. He, you know, became known as a crazy UFO guy. He thinks that he's got this orb in the hills. He tried to make money and nothing came of it. Good things don't come from this. That's my, like, the idea that an alien with a mouth comes down and says, we're from the third galaxy, from the planet Tetonia, is such a dead giveaway that the extraterrestrial hypothesis is complete nonsense. I don't know what they are, but I think they're lying. And I think they do drain you and they want your attention and they seek to deceive. And I group this in with nearly all paranormal stuff. My final thoughts are the similarities between this getting crazier and crazier to the point where the end where he's channeling the aliens is extremely similar to people who go to mediums and talk to the spirits of dead people or spirits or people who have poltergeist encounters in their house and give it attention. And all of these paranormal things, they start off small and people go, oh, what's this? Let me pay attention. And then it gets bigger and clearer and clearer and it drags them more and more in and really does mentally destroy them. I think that's what's happening here. Sanfredo is not special. He's just a poor chump. I got targeted by these beings, wherever they are, however they exist. But they're certainly not from the third galaxy, from the planet Tetonia. So if anyone here or listening ever starts hearing voices telling them to drive their car into clouds and gets told they're special, one,
you're not.
Two, get back on your meds. And three,
get out of there.
Get out of there. Like,
turn your clothes inside out.
Turn your clothes. That's an old school fairy thing that can't get you if your clothes are inside out.
Salt in your pockets, rowan berry necklace type shit.
Oh, yes. Cameron knows from probably all the books, like the classic, So.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, like all classic old school fairy folklore. I think it's very closely related to that. To be totally honest, I think these things can portray themselves in whatever shape they want. And there you go. Let's look like a Star Trek OG series show. Exactly. So That's my take. A little, maybe a little strong and a little aggressive, but I've just, it's been years now. It's been about 6 years now.
Since you started this weird.
Since I started listening to all sorts of stories that cross like all different boundaries, and they kind of all follow this pattern. And I don't think they're all separate phenomena. I think it's all really related.
It is weird though that in like, we did the fairy census a while ago, but like in some of those stories were very just lighthearted. Nothing, some were a little dubious, but nothing was.
Yeah, I think there's a different kind. I think awful. I know Cameron's like, I'm an intellectual scientist. This is all below me. But
that's exactly how you sound. I said, blow me? What? I don't remember saying that.
I believe in aliens, but I would never give any credence to the idea of non-human intelligence on this planet. But
you're putting words in my mouth.
I know. I'm sorry.
This is like such a crazy hack on your desk.
Don't worry. I'm not going to.
Yeah. Is he right or wrong? He's like, well, is he right or wrong? What was the question?
What do you think of the perspective that it's ridiculous to think that they are aliens? They are intelligences that want to trick and deceive us. They exist. They always have for all of human history. It's something that every single human culture has acknowledged forever up until we went, we're too smart for this. Except whether or not humans agree they're too smart for this, things that exist will continue existing. Whether or not humans go,
wait. I do go wah, fairly often. So
it's a good point.
I mean, the targeting to you, not that you go.
I liked your take, Frank. I thought it was well thought out and very pertinent.
I have no evidence though, but
well, that's because it doesn't exist.
Not in the way that could be studied in a lab.
Well, a lack of evidence doesn't mean it's not true.
Yes, lack of evidence is not proof of absence.
All right. Okay. Leave that pause in there.
Yeah, we'll leave that. So yeah. Any vinyl, any whatever. Okay.
No. Great podcast.
Yep. This was a good one. The Zanfretta. Yeah, definitely a. If anything, he was just caught in the crossfire of what these things like to do, tricking and deceiving. That definitely, I mean, you said it goes back to human history. We'll do a djinn episode at one point, talk about old tricksters. It's almost as old as you get.
It's all connected.
But yeah, Aaron, do you have anything else?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I could get behind your take, Frank.
Yeah, I think especially people that are interested in that sort of stuff, whether or not it's real, I don't think it's a good thing to get really deep into it. So for us, we have fun. We discuss the stories. That's all we do. I think that's a safe distance to keep from these crazy ideas. But if you get any closer than we do, I think you're not going to have a good time. So that's all for tonight's show. Remember to leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you tune in if you enjoyed. And if you didn't enjoy it, don't leave a review. Check the link in the show notes for the episodes, write up images, locations, and all the references used tonight if you want to dig deeper, which you probably shouldn't do on this one. Tell your friends to tune in while you're at it. Thanks for listening, and thank you for tuning into our first two-parter in person. Maybe the first of, I don't want to say many, but multiple, at least. We'll see you next Wednesday at 9 p.m. And remember, if you ever get told to drive into a cloud, just turn around, drive the other way, go home. Good night.
What's up, Sigma?